From Jeremiah 29:7. Pray unto God for the peace and prosperity of the city, because if it prospers, you too will prosper. That's Jeremiah 29:7.
Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It is Wednesday, May 20th, 2026. Oh, listening friends, buckle up. I have two high-octane, spirit-filled, godly men, one in the studio with me, and thank you, God, for technology. We've called Bishop Jonathan Franklin. He's in Springfield on his cell phone. Are you at the Ministerial Alliance property now?
Not right now.
Okay, thank you. On very, 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 very short notice, they both are available. I know Bishop Franklin, as I mentioned on yesterday's program, helps remodel and assist in a variety of ways, landscaping, fence building, remodeling at the Springfield Ministerial Alliance home where they host the offices of the Springfield and Vicinity Ministerial Alliance, along with a prayer room that I hadn't seen for about 6 or 7 months, and wow, it's a library, it's a meeting room, it's a prayer room, it's a worship center. It has kind of like two sections where there's all these books and a great table and people can pray and sit around, and then kind of like another additional study room, refrigerator, coffee maker. Oh gosh, it's so good. Well, Bishop, I wanted to have you on because we have some momentum going on with the National Day of Prayer recently. And so many counties, I think 102 counties in Illinois at the courthouses, people met on Sunday and prayed at various times. You have a super heart for prayer. In fact, I've said this before, I think you've met with over 100 different pastors in and around the Springfield area, one-on-one to pray with them, to welcome them to the community, to encourage them to be a part of the Alliance. But as long as I've known you, you've had a heart for prayer. You emphasize the importance of prayer, why we need to pray. So I want to continue in this kind of vein with yesterday and recently so many people talking about prayer to get some of your thoughts on the importance of prayer. And then also in the studio is my buddy Hub, who also has a great heart for prayer. He and I and his family, Stephanie and Bam Bam, his son, Stephen, and Victory for Victoria, they joined us at the county courthouse for prayer this past Sunday. And so both of you are all in about prayer. By way of one more introduction, Bishop Jonathan Franklin serves on our radio board. He's the pastor at Mount Zion Apostolic Church in Springfield. He's the president of the Springfield and Vicinity Ministerial Alliance. So I have two presidents with me. Hub serves as the president of the Champaign-Urbana and Vicinity Ministerial Alliance, a good friend. He was our speaker this month at the Pastor and Ministry Leader Luncheon, becoming a dear friend. He and Stephanie are faithful followers of Jesus. And so, Bishop, I just wanted to have you on to talk a little more about prayer. And I know this verse in Jeremiah might be a great springboard. Also seek the peace and prosperity of the city to which I have carried you into exile. Pray to the Lord for it, because if it prospers, you too will prosper. Talk a little bit about that.
Obviously, that is God talking to the nation of Israel. Once they had been scattered because of their disobedience and failure to uphold the covenant of God, God scattered them through the nations. So he says to them, wherever it is that you are as a result of the exile, you find yourself in whatever city you're in, you need to pray for that city. Now, we are not here by exile, but it is where we live. You and Muhammad, Pastor Herbert in Champaign, myself in Springfield. But wherever the listener is, whatever city they are in, God instructs us to take spiritual responsibility by praying for that city, for the peace, for the welfare, for the prosperity of that city. And he says that if that city prospers, everybody will prosper.
Mm-hmm.
And so it seems that God is saying that prayer is the key to the prosperity of a city, not how smooth the political establishment works. I often say, as the church goes, so goes the city. If the church is functioning properly, cities will prosper, nations will prosper, the inhabitants will benefit from that. We seem to, as the church, have not grasped that because, you know, we're doing a lot of things. But prayer seems to be at the bottom of the list in the priority of many churches. We've got programs for this. We've got different kinds of outreach efforts, you know, and all these are well and good. But if prayer is not the foundation of what the church does, nothing that we do is going to prosper for very long.
Mm-hmm. I heard you one time mention, I can't think of it now, but oftentimes there's like staging or it's a production. Like what happens from the pulpit is not entertainment, but you contrasted it. It shouldn't be this. It should be this. Can you bring that to my mind?
I think you're referring to a statement that I heard that said the church has become all stage and no altar.
Yes, all stage. So it's like a production. It's like to entertain.
It's entertainment. We're trying to out-entertain, hoping that our entertainment will get the attention of those who are looking for a church, you know, who's got the best choir, who's got the best platform and technology, all of those things. And this is the basis that a lot of people are choosing where to go to church. When people come to our church and they express an interest, I send them back to prayer. You have to go and ask God, is this where you're supposed to be? Because if it's not God, you're going to be in the wrong place, and it's not going to be a good experience for you.
Mm-hmm.
And so find out where God is, and that's done through prayer. Everything, all of our endeavors, we are to seek God to make sure that we're in His will. Wherever we go, whatever we do, whatever we say, whoever we say it to, you know, we've got to make sure that we are in the will of God and not following a vision of our own heart. As God said to Jeremiah, a lot of the people are following a vision of their own heart. God says, I haven't said anything to them. So they're just doing their own thing. And that characterizes the condition of the church in this hour.
As we were talking on the phone, Hub, you mentioned something that Bishop King James Underwood shared about prayer.
My dad always says that, Bishop Underwood says that prayer is a key to the kingdom and faith unlocks the door.
That's exactly right.
Two scriptures came to my mind. And, you know, I preach Sunday, the house is on fire. And I wasn't talking about the regular house because judgment going to begin at the house of the Lord. And so he makes it really plain. He co-signs what Bishop said. If my people who are called by my name, if his people, that's us, if we would pray and seek his face, you know, he would fix this thing. And so we're the salt of the earth. And we're living in the time the scripture says, if it were possible, even the very elect would be fooled. And the very elect are the ones that are praying and are fasting. And that's the only reason they're not going to be fooled, because it's not possible.
Well, I've loved both of your hearts for prayer, for engaging with the community, your passion for God's word, which is so important, faithfully following Jesus these many years, serving in a variety of capacities. But the importance of prayer, Bishop Franklin, is so fundamental and yet so neglected. Why is it that so many churches, you know, oh, we tried a Wednesday night prayer gathering and only six people, you know, the very faithful showed up, so we just stopped doing it. How can we encourage people to take seriously the importance of prayer?
Well, Pastor pointed out that God is talking to his people. It's very important that we understand, and this is a rather difficult position to take, but the vast majority of people that attend church are not God's people.
Wow.
Jesus tells us that narrow is the way that leads to life, and only a few are going to find it. When we look at Gideon's army as a type of the church. Gideon had a massive number of people with him, but God could not work with all of those numbers. And so God boiled it down to who he could work with. So we should not be surprised that most of the people in the churches do not attend prayer. Most of them do not have the heart of God. They're there for reasons that pertain to them, but not for the glory of God. When you boil it down to who is and who not, who God is talking to when he says, if my people. So it's not based upon this big old crowd. God knows my people is a really small number. In every case, God is dealing with a very small number of people. And so we should not be alarmed that most of the people who are on the roll, members of our churches, aren't faithful to prayer. It simply is manifesting who is and who is not God's people. And so everyone that's listening to this has to now consider, okay, am I God's people or am I just along for the ride? And the reason I am so adamant about prayer is because I believe we're living in the last days. And if that's the case, some very alarming things are coming down the pike, and most people are going to run rather than stand when those things begin to happen. And what am I talking about? We are facing the mark of the beast, the 666. And so if the economy flips and says, now, in order for you to participate in the economy, you're going to have to pledge allegiance to the Antichrist, you know, how many people in the church will sign up? Because if we are not walking by absolute faith in God, the pressure is going to become so immense that most of what is called church is just going to easily fold under the pressure. God told Gideon, you know, tell all those who are scared to go home. Two-thirds of his church went home. And when those left, God said, you still got too many people in there. So we like numbers. We think, you know, that measures our success. But Jesus never curried that crowd. In fact, he made some statements that so disturbed them that it says in John chapter 6, verse 66, 666, it says many of them went away and walked no more with him. And those that were left, Jesus turned to them and he said, will you also go away? Now, God's people understand, as Peter did. Peter said, where are we going to go? You have the words of life. So they stuck with Jesus. So I have to make up my mind that no matter what comes, no matter what happens, I'm sticking with Jesus. And in order for me to have the strength and the spiritual dynamic force to do that, prayer has to be the foundation of my life. Prayer and faith in God's word have got to be what characterizes everything that I do. You know, we're busy trying to make the church look like the world. You got me on I'm sorry. But my concern is for those who desire to be saved, not just members of churches, but who want to be saved. When Jesus comes back, I want to go with him. And that means that I've got to put some things in place in my life that are irrefutable no matter what the circumstances are. We have enjoyed a magnificent standard of living here in America, but I'm telling us that one day soon all of that's going to go away. And then what will we do, you know, when we don't have bank accounts and we don't have the things that we enjoy so much that rich man that went to hell enjoyed, said he ate good every day, wore the best clothes, but he had no mind for God. And so I push prayer because of what I see in the church. The church needs to draw closer to God. The churches need to come together and stop fighting over denominational differences and doctrinal differences and get before God and ask God to consume us on the altar. Paul said, I die daily. And so if we will live like that, if we'll die to ourselves every day, then it doesn't matter what happens. We will represent God everywhere we go. We'll be in season and out of season, always ready to give an answer to anybody that asks us about the hope that we have in him.
You know, I wrote down a couple things as you were speaking and sharing. You know, it saddens my heart that there's such little interest in showing up, just say, for the Wednesday night prayer gathering or seeing how important prayer is. And so a couple thoughts. I wonder if it's because oftentimes people don't recognize God's sovereignty and his goodness and his care. Like if they really took to heart that God really, in fact, loves them. Now he's demonstrated, he sent Jesus, we can flourish in so many different ways, but they don't maybe get his character, so they don't see the importance of talking and praying to him. So I wrote that down. Listening friend, maybe it's just because you don't understand how good God is and that he cares for you that you don't seem to prioritize attending prayer gatherings. So that's one thing I want to throw out, maybe Hub or you can talk about. The other was, I thought of that lesson, I've heard it preached a couple times in the last month or two, the soils. And so many people are, they're that hard soil where because of situations in their life, they're just hardened, they're callous. So they recognize, yeah, there's a God and they want to go to heaven, but they really don't engage much. Or their soil is filled with thorns and thistles and other competing interests. Well, oh, I have a ball game that night. Oh, I have to do this, so I can't make it. And so all those competing factors are drowning out the importance of prayer. So maybe your thoughts on that, Hub?
I'm a pastor, the bishop, but I just want to say the enemy of the best is not the worst. The enemy of the best is good. So a lot of times Satan distracts us with good things, and we feel good because we're doing good deeds and all that. But I call that too many O's. Right. You know, when I had this latest tragedy, well, it should have been a tragedy, but it ended up being a miracle with my daughter. One of the most powerful things God told me is you're wasting a lot of time on things that are not kingdom. You're wasting a lot of time on people that don't mean my purpose any good. And so he said, you got too many O's in good. They're good things, but they're not God things. And so one of the things that when I listen to people pray, a lot of people pray the problem instead of solution. And God wants you to pray according to his word. And they praying, Lord, I got a problem and it's getting worse. Man, he ain't hearing none of that. Go ahead, Bishop.
Satan's hearing it.
Yeah.
The confession, our words,
yes,
death and life are in the power of the
tongue. Yes, sir.
And they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof.
Yes, sir.
So you mentioned some things, Mark. You know, I got a ball game. Well, you know, these things, while they are not wrong, they can become idolatrous in that if I put them before my responsibility to God, they become my God. And so idolatry is alive and well. We don't build statues and bow down and worship them, but there are a lot of things that we put before God or instead of God in our lives, and those things become our God. And God defines himself. He said, my name is jealous. So God is not going to share you with anything or anybody. Yet jobs take priority over God. I got to have a job. But you know, if you pray, God will open the doors. I prayed years ago. I was working three jobs trying to make ends meet and raise my children. And I prayed. I said, God, I need one job that will pay me what I need to make and let me be in church every time doors are open. And God gave me that one job. So, you know, but I think a lot of people are afraid to pray that, to believe for that. And so they just keep doing what they're doing, working their way out of church, can't come to church for this, that, or the other. And as a result, they can't grow as saints of God. They don't grow. They remain weak. And then when a crisis comes, I dare say, Pastor Herbert, when a situation like that with your child comes up, you know, if there's not already some reserve strength, like the statement, footprints in the sand, you know, in those times, I only saw one set of footprints, you know, he was carrying me, you know, and sometimes these kind of situations come up, They blindside us, but we've been so faithful to God that when we need him to, he carries us through those things. And this is why Jesus commands us. The first reason we need to pray, Jesus commands that men ought always to pray and not faint. And so we're commanded to be in prayer. Yes. Yes. So, you know, obedience is the number one reason why we need to be in prayer.
Yes.
Obeying what God calls for us to do. He said, men ought always to pray and not to faint, not to give up. And there are going to be things that are going to cause us to think about giving up. I've sat down, you know, I've been so wounded that I just sat down, you know, I'm not doing nothing. But that's when God says, be still and know that I am God.
Yes,
but those times should not last always because I don't have time to be sitting down. I must be about my Father's business.
Yes, sir.
And so prayer and fasting, the church understood to release Paul and Barnabas for the word. So we hear from God when we pray. We get our marching orders in prayer. We get warnings. God warned the people about things as they were praying. And so if the church does not have the vision or the revelation of prayer, we are sunk. And as a result, our world is in trouble because everything that's wrong in the world, it is the fault of the church not being where God called it to be.
Well, listening friend, I hope this discussion, this sharing about the importance of prayer is maybe percolating in your mind, in your heart, maybe some healthy conviction. Healthy conviction will always have you turn towards God. Condemnation from the evil one will have you turn away from God. But the importance of prayer is fundamental for all of us. That's where we can converse with God. We can talk to God. But part of prayer is also listening to God, those quiet moments that Bishop shared where we just say, Lord, speak to me, share from your word, help me understand the concept, the direction, what you want me to do. But listening, friend, God loves you. He cares about you. He created you. He values you. He wants eternity to disclose how great he is and for you to thrive. And there's no more pain or suffering or heartache in heaven. And God wants to daily speak to you and hear from you. So it's a privilege to prayer. So I hope we've raised the bar a little that you're going to see the importance and you're going to show up at your church when there's prayer gatherings or community gatherings where we can come together because God loves to hear from us. We're his beloved children, but he'll instruct us through prayer and guide us and lead us. And so think about it, dear friend. Be in God's word. Attend church this Sunday. Talk with other friends. Maybe start accountability group with other men or women that'll pray for you and will intercede on your behalf because it's the lifeline that we all need to be connected to hear from God. Now, if you missed a portion of today's broadcast, want to hear it again, or maybe there's a person you want to send it to encourage them, stop by greatnewsradio.org or wluj.org, and they can listen to today's program under the Mark and Friends link. Well, Bishop, we got to go. Thank you for carving out time and attending to this program and Hub for on very short notice, zipping out here to the studio. But I appreciate both you guys. You're role models to me. I love your faithfulness to the Lord, how passionate you are about God's word and people coming to know Jesus, but not just maybe the unchurched or those that are far from God, but how you desire to equip the saints to flourish in the days ahead, these last times that Bishop talked about. So may we all commit anew or in new and different ways to be in prayer, to be interceding for our nation, for our pastors, for our loved ones, our family, our co-workers, seizing those opportunities to proclaim Jesus and share him with all as we go wherever we go.
Yes,
all right. Hey, Bishop, I'm on a roll now. you've rubbed off on me. Well, thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns, Bishop Franklin, and Pastor Hub with the Ministry of Great News Media. God bless you and have a great day and night.